The wonderful part about this season of ordinary time is that we get to hear from extended parts of the gospel. And today we hear, of course, from the gospel of St. Luke. And the immediate context of today's gospel passage is actually what we heard last weekend. So if you remember back to last Sunday, we heard about the landowner who had a bountiful harvest. He had so much, as a matter of fact, that it didn't fit into his barns. So he tore the old barns down and built bigger ones. And he thought he was pretty much set for life. And God calls him a fool because that night his life would be demanded of him. And all of that that he stored up, that he thought was rich in, would actually come to nothing. So today, as this story continues, Jesus gets to the question of why does this matter? Why does it matter to be rich in the things of God that fool was told last Sunday? God wants us to be rich in our identity as his sons and daughters and in our baptismal dignity of being members of the body of Christ, brothers and sisters of Jesus, and sons and daughters of God. Why does this matter? And Jesus tells us it matters because at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. At an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. And what's implicit in that is that we will have to give an accounting of how we have lived up to our baptismal calling, to our dignity as Christians, as sons and daughters of God. The Son of Man will come and he will ask us how we lived and used the gifts that he gave to us. Now, this truth of our faith can sometimes lead us to the image of the giant ledger book. How many credits do I have in my column? How many debits do I have against me? We can tend to think of God as the eternal accountant. And nothing against accountants. If there are any accountants out today, please don't send me emails. I'm not trying to say that accountants are a bad thing. Everybody needs a good one. But is that all there is in my relationship with God? Does my relationship come down to simply credits and debits in a giant ledger book? Certainly not. Certainly our relationship with God is based on something much, much deeper. And Jesus uses the image of the master and his servants to help us to understand this. It's a much more helpful image, I think. We hear about the servants of the master who has gone away. And we're told that they should be found vigilant on his arrival. And that when they are found vigilant, the master will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. I don't know if that struck you as being strange when the gospel was being proclaimed, because it strikes me as being strange. What master would have his servants recline at the table and then proceed to wait on them? That whole dynamic is reversed. But it's not reversed when the master is Jesus. The image is about Jesus as master. Jesus is God made man. Jesus who put on our humanity to be of service to us. Remember in St. John's Gospel at the Last Supper, Jesus takes off his outer garment, puts the apron on, and proceeds to get down and wash the feet of his apostles one by one. He is the master come to serve. And that beautiful image of Jesus serving at the Last Supper, of washing the feet of the apostles, is the first step in his service to us by giving his life on the cross. It foreshadows that offering of Jesus on the cross. Jesus, our master, becomes a servant so that he can raise us up, that he can raise us up to the dignity of sons and daughters of God. And then the master, he puts his servants in charge of his property. That's all of us. From the cross, Jesus wins the gift of salvation for us. He wins the gift of us being sons and daughters of God, being allowed and able to have God's grace, sanctifying grace, alive in our hearts. And St. Paul puts it this way. He says that we have all received grace upon grace. The Master gives and gives and gives. God gives grace freely, extravagantly, unquestioningly. He gives and gives and gives. He is the good Master who gives gifts to us, his servants. And how do we respond? Obviously, he wants us to be like those first servants who were using his gifts well, who were paying attention and awake and alert. But then we hear about the other servants who forget the fact that the master's coming back. And what do? They start to get drunk. They start to have a party. They forget that the master's coming back. They wind up beating each other up rather than waiting for the master. So we're not going to be like those servants. Jesus, the good master, gives us grace upon grace. And we, like those good servants, should be vigilant in our use of that. Because, as Jesus tells us, the time grows short, and we don't know when the Master will return. I was thinking about what image I could use to explain this response that we have to God's initiative of first loving us. And I was thinking about in my own life, in the few times when I really, really disappointed my parents. Maybe this has happened to you or happened with your children. You have done something really, really wrong. You have to go tell your parents or maybe your spouse or someone important, and you're all ready to get yelled at. I know I'm going to get yelled at about this one, right? And you tell them, and your parents or your spouse looks at you, and they don't say anything. And that silence is the worst possible response. And you say, "Aren't you going to yell at me?" And they just say, "No, I'm just disappointed in you." Oh, like a knife in the heart, right? Because we love that parent or spouse so much, we don't want to disappoint them. We want to do what's right. We want to respond to their love. And so we want to respond to God's love, the good master who gives us so many gifts. We want to respond in love to that calling. And when we don't, God simply says, "Well, I'm just very disappointed." And of course, he knows we're frail human beings, that we fall down and we have to get back up again and we make mistakes. But like I said, God gives grace upon grace, overflowing generously, exorbitantly, in order to get us back up and continue on the road of discipleship. Jesus ends the gospel passage today by saying, "Much will be required of the person entrusted with much. And still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." My friends, we have been entrusted with so much by God, our good master. So many gifts and blessings, graces, the privilege of being Christians, of being his sons and daughters, so many gifts. Let us respond with generous hearts, with loving hearts, to build up those things that matter to God. to be generous in our love of Him and in our love of our brothers and sisters.